And today on Voidcast, we are doing a Q&A with Patreon members.
Yeah. With our vast resources of wisdom.
We were like, should we do a like relationship advice thing? And then we were both like, we don't know.
Yeah. Because when I did that with Sarah on my old one, it was just like, we are like the least qualified people to give relationship advice.
Well, there's one question about like financial advice. We just like looked at each other. Not much better. Okay. Well, should we do the questions
first?
Yeah,
should we dive in?
Just had one come in about thoughts / coping tips regarding being in love with your doctoral supervisor. Or in the suffering of impossible love more generally. 20AF, oh, this is actually useful. 20AF, 47M in social sciences for context.
Right. I mean, I would say seduce him.
I think at 28 you can do whatever you want to do with anyone.
28?
Yeah, 28F. She's 28.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not even a problem.
Yeah, go for it. That will be like a formative, beautiful experience for you both.
It's not even an age gap. It's barely even a...
Yeah.
Barely even a power gap at that point.
Yeah.
She's like a grown woman.
I mean, I think, like, the advantages of that are kind of the same as the disadvantages, in that it can be, like, very creatively and intellectually stimulating, because you're like in love with someone who's like actively fueling your desire to work and like do better. Mm-hmm. But then if it goes badly, then your work is obviously implicated, and then the whole thing goes to shit.
Yeah, unless you use the spite and anger from your breakup to fuel it even
but
more.
Then even then the whole thing is colored by sex.
Yeah, I wonder. It sounds like she's not with him, because she says, or on the suffering of impossible love more generally. I mean, this isn't really impossible. This is the most possible. This is the most common type of love that's ever
existed. It's very easy.
This is the only type of love that's happened in the world.
But I think if it ends badly, then it's like, it's because people will know about it. Like his colleagues will know, and your friends will know, and then it becomes very difficult to go back to a normal relationship with your work.
Yeah. She's also in social sciences, and I think they're quite woke. Like,
are they?
I think psychology, like, all that lot are very unhappy with, they'd be unhappy with that type of relationship.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah, it is part, that's part of the fun. That's the main bit of the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like 47, he's 47, that's not even old. He should be, like,
it's
70.
Pretty old. It's pretty old. I won't go older than, like, 43. Personally. The balls start to sag.
Yeah, I think 40 is like men's wall. It's nice that you give him a bit of leeway on the 3 years afterwards.
Well, because I dated someone who was 41 and I would have thought he was like 29. Like, he was very fit.
Well, yeah, when they date you when you're so much younger than them, it's like they have to be younger in mind and spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I have seen it work, these relationships. Like, I've seen people get married with big age gaps within academia, and it's very sweet. But, I mean, most of the time, it's going to be worse for you.
Yes. So. Because he's got next year.
Yeah, I mean, do whatever you want, but...
he has a stream coming in, yeah, do what you want.
Just be prepared to pivot to, like, a different career.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I think, like, business and pleasure, it's, like, one of these lessons that I really should learn at some point. Because, obviously, it's... I think it's because, like, you get to do all of this stuff like for the relationship, but it's really for yourself. Like, it's almost like a hack to get yourself to work harder and to be more productive and more successful and like more like impressive, because you have someone to impress. But I feel like I sort of generate crushes for that purpose, because I want to like do better.
Yeah, I've definitely had like post breakup, like that's me at my best. It's like after breaking up with someone, and that's really difficult with being married for life, because now I'll never. So I feel like I microdose it with friendships. Like when I have like a toxic friendship and then it ends, and then that like gives me a boost.
Yeah.
But I feel like that energy is, you either have it on the positive end when you're falling in love, or you have it at the end when you're, when it's all over and you're just, it's just you again.
Cause when I was with the tutor guy, like I did so much work to prove that I was like competent.
Yeah.
And that I could hold down like a secret relationship as well as do really well in my normal work. Mm-hmm. And that was like a point of pride. And I did do some of my best work during that time.
Yeah. I wonder if he, do you think that's anything that he actually thought was impressive, or was he like just,
it wasn't even for him, it was for like a different tutor. But I just wanted to prove that I could like be a competent person, you know?
Yeah, because you want to look older and they kind of want to look a bit. Well, do they try to be younger? I don't. Sometimes, yeah. I think older, like, I've had experience.
I think so. But it's also an ego thing, of course, to be admired.
Yeah, and you kind of want to be, like, wise beyond your years. And there's that element to it. But again, I feel like at 28, I feel like a lot of those dynamics kind of, maybe you settle into yourself way more. So it's not really, I wonder how much drive she could get from being in a relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah, also late 20s, you, like, at some point you need to give up the dramatics.
Yeah, I think that's the 28F of it all is what got me.
Like, men can do that into their 40s.
Exactly, but... and he's doing that with you, with her, if he's doing anything. But I feel like as a woman, it depends what she wants, if she wants to, like, just have fun in her life, but if she wants to settle down at any point, I think that's an age that you start having to like think strategically about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it might be fun for a few months.
Until I get alpha widowed.
From your doctoral supervisor. Oh god, and that's like a relationship, that's like a multi-year relationship as well. Like if that does break down.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Supervisor is quite bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we do the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
do whatever you want. The answer to every question. Oh, this is the next one as well. What is one thing that men can do for women that would improve gender relations, or at least your own personal view of men? He actually used moids, but I refused to,
On point.
I don't think men should do anything for women. Like, I think the most disgusting thing is when a man is like trying to be nice to me. But like trying to please you, you know, like I feel like you should just be there and be very impressive and cool and fun to hang out with, but not actually actively do that much. Like it should be like very infrequent, and I feel like as a question that's kind of almost like begging the question.
I mean, we were talking about the new Lily Allen album, which is all about a man being threatened by like your creative success. And I think one of the main things, like in the sort of gender war, is that like men don't have enough going on for them, or like if they do, they don't feel satisfied by it, because it's like a job that they don't really want to be doing, that they're doing to earn money, but it's not like the thing they really, it's not like their calling. And then when a woman does something that is actually like what she wants to do, then that's really threatening, and they feel attacked by that. And I've had that like in several relationships, and it's like, it's not even like I'm like successful. It's like I, you know, I have a Substack, but it's like the fact that I was making my own money doing what I wanted to do and like writing that caused all these issues with men who were like making way more money than me and like were objectively more successful. So I feel like a lot of it is just like countering that like sort of Nick 30 aunt's like narrative that you're like a wage cuck or something, and like feeling taken advantage of by everyone, including like your bitch. And just like having something going for you that you feel proud of.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to write, like, go and do that.
Yeah, no one's stopping you from... Yeah. Even you, like, especially if you're in a wage-cock job, to be honest, like, you can do that usually in, like, a few hours in a day. And then you have the weekend and after work. Like, it's not...
Yeah, because I've seen what those jobs actually entail, and it's just, like, meetings.
Some of them are, like, if you're in, like, finance or whatever, then they do work, like, 16 hours a day. But they love it. They actually... Usually people in finance actually love their job. Or they hate it, but they...
Then you're actually making money and you're generating, like, value. You're not just, like, you know, writing policies about, you know, women's equality in the Middle East.
I think there is, like, this kind of, in some way, fair resentment that men have of, like, women making it further because they're women. Like,
yeah.
I think there's kind of something to it. But then it's also very unattractive to women, like, in terms of a question. It's just, I don't know if we're back in, like, social Darwinism where it's like the best man wins, but kind of, like, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, like the being feeling cucked all the time. Yeah. It's crazy how many people, when they are, like, envious of someone or jealous of someone, they really project that outwards onto them.
Yeah.
Which I've noticed recently. But it's like you can just internalize it and work on the thing that you are jealous of.
Yeah, and like the previous question, like you can take that and you can like use it as fuel for your own goals.
Yeah,
which is what I've always done because I've always gone for men who are like smarter and more successful than me.
Yeah, it should be an inspiring thing to do. It should be like Yeah, and
I think that's the unattractive thing. It's like the fact that you can't harness that. It's like the fact that you're like beta coded.
Yes.
In your attitude to it.
Because you're literally in a passive. Yeah, like you're in a passive. Like you aren't active enough to be able to like make your own way or to exert your will on the world.
Just generally, if you're like threatened by a woman, like, you know, having friends or like doing cool stuff or like that, that is a big turn off. That's.
Mm.
A big ick for me.
It's also like, you're threatened by a woman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say? Or at least your own personal view of... Yeah, I think just to do your own thing, I think whenever a man, like, does anything... I think, like, women always talk about ambition, but it's like, it doesn't have to be a financial thing. I think even if a man's, like, earning no money, but he's, like, a creative...
Unless he's, person, like, shit.
He's what, quote?
Unless he's, like, a musician, but he's, like, really bad at it or something. Yeah, yeah. Or, like a poet.
Any poet?
Yeah, men shouldn't write poetry, maybe.
I think most people shouldn't. <It's> like, not 1% of people who shouldn't write poetry.
It's, like, when a man gives you, like, something he's written and you have to be positive about it.
Like a cat that brings in a rat.
Yeah, yeah. So bad.
Was that Lana the lyric in Norman Rockwell? She's like, your poetry's bad and you blame the news.
Yeah.
Which is actually such a, is what they are like. Like, oh.
Yeah.
My work sucks because I can't get a job in a company because of DEI.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And like, I'm really sympathetic, but.
Yeah. It is a bad. I guess, it's just like you, there's like lots of cards you're dealt and some of them are really bad. And even as women, you can get dealt some bad cards and you just kind of have to at some point just accept
what
it.
What you do with it.
Yeah, you have to accept it. I think that's the thing, they project it because they haven't actually accepted those flaws that they have.
Yeah, like as and they're like quietly seething inside.
Yeah, and they don't think it's flaws. I think that's like what partly with things like people blaming even like things like ADHD or autism like being such a thing now.
Yeah, it used to be trauma, very women.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, but the
like
same
with men,
thing.
It's like blaming... like the Browns,
yeah,
and like when they go out and they're like seething about all the immigrants on the street, but it's clearly like projection.
Yeah,
it's like because you don't feel able to like assert yourself in the world in the way you expected to.
Yeah,
and you feel like other people have taken your like birthright, which is kind of true in the sense that you know it used to be much easier for men, like for like white men, to like just go into a profession, and like that was very straightforward, and now obviously they have to really fight for it. But yeah, I feel like it's quite pathetic if you don't just have that energy.
And I think actually from like working in several companies, or like even seeing it from my friends, if you are a white man, especially in like very female dominated teams, sometimes you're treated badly, but a lot of the time you're actually really liked because you are still like a white man, you're very competent, you're like chill, so you don't have any drama.
Yeah.
But it's actually, I've seen it like, you kind of see it on an industry level in like nursing, like men in nursing tend to do better, like have higher salaries, and like
right.
there's like a thing, I think there's like a term for it, but like men going into female fields actually get prioritized over other women.
Yeah.
Because you're seen as such a like unicorn. And
I mean, I probably wouldn't date a male nurse.
Well. For any male nurse. I mean, now the guy would be like Filipino anyway.
Yeah, what are the other icks? Like,
I think like, yeah, caring. I mean, at school, I remember like people caring, like guys caring too much about exam results, like what other people got in exams kind of icked me out.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's a girl job to like do well in exam, you know, like,
right.
To like care about exams in that like, way. Yeah, I don't know about icks. I think icks are like something like if you do love the person and you're mostly attracted to them, you can get over.
Yeah, I mean,
things.
Anything that's annoying, if you love someone, it becomes like cute.
Yeah, not necessarily. I think yes, that's true. Until then, you've been with them for a few years, and then it's back to annoying again.
Right.
But then you kind of
I haven't experienced that. I've never been with someone for a few years.
Once you start living with them, it's like. Like breathing and you're like, fuck you. Looking at them.
So I was gonna say, like, you know, when you get the ick and it's like suddenly like, why is this random guy in my house?
To be that way. It's like even you're married.
So how do you get through that if you're married?
I think you have sex.
Right.
I think sex is actually like the thing that cures it. It's hard sometimes because you hate each other so much. I feel like I should caveat like everything's fine.
No, but this is really useful for me as like an unmarried whore.
To a married whore. I think yeah, you'd like literally have to like hug it out and have sex.
I've just never got to that stage
of just like familial like hate, like
yeah,
like you're both like if you don't put your stuff away, I swear to God.
That sounds awful.
It's not, but it's, I think it's normal. I think it's like living with some. I think also if you're an only child, which I kind of am, like in a sort of kind of way. I think if you're both like very independent people living together, it's like more difficult. You've lived with boyfriends before, right?
Yeah, but not with someone that I was like in love with.
Right. Did you not ever have like, you know, like stupid arguments, like over stupid stuff?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was just because the relationship wasn't right.
No.
Oh. Okay.
I think that's pretty normal. I think it's like after you've been with someone for like a long time, it's like. But also because they kind of become like a part of you, so then you're kind of annoyed at like your like it just right. feels like an extension of you, and you know like when you get annoyed with yourself for being like messy or dirty or something, you're like, oh fuck's sake, it's like you
yeah.
can just externalize, you can like there's like a whole person there to yell at.
Yeah, I don't want to yell at someone, like I don't want to be mean to
to, you will be.
To another person.
That's why the nagging wife is a thing. It's like a. It's the real thing.
But I thought you didn't have that if you were in love. Oh.
Literally just, I am just now learning. Do you just think people got
it's
married
like
for decades?
Two autistic bitches, Torky.
I think, yeah, when you love each other, you can, like, get over lots of annoying things. And, yeah, I feel like I've made my marriage sounds crazy, but it's actually fine. Like it's just life. Like you still, like you get married and you think it's like the end, but it's like really not. It's like the start of
the beginning.
It's the beginning. But I think people forget about that because I think that's partly why, like I think divorces are such a big thing, because people forget that, like, you're still two people of different personalities, and you have to compromise, and you have to manage that. I think another thing of, like, when, like, everyone has flaws, obviously, like, personality flaws, and you kind of have to, when you get married, you almost, like, decide whether this flaw that's in a person you're okay to live with for the rest of their life, for the rest of your lives, because most likely people kind of don't really get over their flaws. Like, you can manage them better.
Yeah.
But there is a sort of decision you have to make that's like, okay, this one I can deal with, like, for the rest of my life. As long as we, you know, you try to make it better.
Right.
But I think that's what people, I think the reason people kind of divorce for no reason is, like, they refuse to see it as two actual people in a relationship rather than, like, this fairy tale.
Yeah. I mean, I've just always hated the idea of being, like, the nagging wife, or being, like, this, like, bitch wife who's, like, annoyed at her husband for just, like, breathing or, you know, doing something mildly annoying. So I've always been...
Can I say, this is a very small number of cases.
But then I guess the only times I haven't had that was when, like, the relationship doesn't even have the requisite intimacy to get to that stage where you're just, like, you're always on and off, or, like, you never get to that stage where you have the domestic thing because you're in this, like, weird, like, deferred state where, you know, you're always in that honeymoon phase.
You're in a drama. You're in the early drama phase, yeah, which is very exciting and fun. And you don't need to be your full self in that situation. You don't need to be the boring bit, because it's always drama. It's always, like...
Yeah.
You feel like it's a deeper version of a relationship, because you're usually, like, having deep fights about things.
That's so true.
Right.
I'm learning so much right now.
But it's, like, the deepest bit is, like, when... You know, how do you resolve, like, domestic disputes that are, like, boring and mundane and part of daily life in that way? I think there's something about divorce being an option at all. We were talking about it the other day, how weird it is to, like, because we're married, so any issues we have, like, there's no way to not solve them. Like, they'll just have to be solved somehow. Whereas I think for non-religious people who are getting married, it's like they always have that option in the back of their mind, and I don't know what that actually does to you psychologically.
And I feel like that with the Lily Allen album, like, the fact that, because clearly, I mean, it's sort of framed as an infidelity thing, but clearly they'd agreed to open their relationship within certain bounds. Like, she says, like, we had an arrangement, like, it's okay if there's payment, it's okay if it's a stranger or something. And it's like, that is a very normal workaround within this sort of liberal framework where it's like, if you're having marital difficulties, you just open up your relationship. But then obviously you feel like shit, and it opens up all these different avenues for people to hurt each other. And then obviously you get hurt, and then you don't really know how to process that, because like, you invited it yourself, and it's like, you kind of have to revert to this kind of trad thing where it's like, oh, he cheated on me, or like, he wronged me. But that is kind of dishonest, because, like, you chose that yourself.
Yeah. And it seems like she kind of... But again, like, she didn't seem to want to actually open it up, but she did open it up. So she did make that decision. So therefore, you know... And I think
But there's pressure to buy into that narrative as well.
There is. And I think because the open marriage thing is meant to solve that kind of... Maybe one of the main problems with marriage is sort of the consistent monogamy thing. But it's like... That's also the main attraction. Like, that's why it never works, because it's the idea of your partner sleeping with someone else is just like makes you feel sick. Like, it's just, I don't think you actually can get over that instinctively.
Yeah. I mean, the reason you get married is to stop sleeping around.
Had one job in the marriage, just don't sleep. Yeah, I think she, obviously in her case, I think she's like a dramatic person, and she likes to like, we were talking about it earlier, like, she would have loved in some way that this happened, like, so she could make this album.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, because she, in her, like, last marriage, she'd, like, cheated on him with, like, female prostitutes, and that had been okay because they were women or something.
And prostitutes.
And she'd also, like, lied about having an abortion when No, she lied about having a miscarriage when actually she'd had an abortion.
Oh, shit.
But, like, clearly there's a desire for drama there and, like, an attraction to, like, these seedy, like, dark parts of life. And it's like, you know, why else would you start an OnlyFans selling feet pics if you're, like, famous and, like, you have other avenues open to you? Unless you're, like, actively attracted to the idea of yourself as, like, a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, like, kind of simulating that within a marriage and, like, doing this kind of scandalous thing within a marriage is attractive, and it gets, like, the dopamine receptors firing, and it gives you the sense of, like, drama, which is fulfilling. But there was like, quite a moving line where she, what did she say? It's like, I tried to be a modern wife, but the child in me protests. And, yeah, I feel like that's probably quite widespread. Mm. Like, you know, there are all these stories about people opening up their marriages, and this idea that it's just normal, it's like this completely fine thing that doesn't have any necessarily bad ramifications unless you're, like, neurotic or something. But actually it is just, it's wrong. Like, it's just unnatural.
Yeah.
It's really normal to feel like that's wrong.
And I think because she's, like, super, super liberal, right? Like, she's very...
Yeah.
So, and I think that is their last frontier. I feel like polyamory gets spoken about a lot, but it hasn't really caught on because it is the last... It does feel like the last frontier. Like, no one can actually manage it because it's so disgusting to most people. Like, as liberal as you are, it's like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
But yeah, in her case, I mean, I looked the guy up and it's like, he has the physiognomy of a, disgusting, like, cheater.
Yeah. Like, having known lots of actors as well, it's so, like, actor-coded to actors do that kind of thing. Just, like, the ego. And then the way of, like, framing that as... like a kind of therapeutic thing, which they all kind of do.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm actually more evolved than other people because I'm aware of my needs for this, like, because I'm a sex addict.
Well, she's, yeah, right, in one song she's like, oh, am I looking at a sex addict? And it's like, I don't think so. I think you're looking at a,
like, it's a, like, oh, I go to slaw, so I'm, like, aware of it, but I'm gonna keep doing it.
I love your idea of slaw in general, just like just group of people. So dysfunctional when I have sex with anyone. Just get them together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see where she goes next, I guess. But
I thought it was a good album, though. Yeah. It was actually a great album. I really like her first two albums.
Same, yeah. I loved them.
I still listen to, like, LDN when I'm going around London.
Same. I listened to Friday Night the other day, because I was, like, had a bad... I didn't have a bad Friday night, but it was... Everything closed, and, like, the sort of... Went to Soho again, and everything was just, like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very London to me. She's very, like...
Yeah, I'm, like, very, like, noughties London.
Yeah, yeah, like,